Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nancy. I'm so excited for tonight. It's a great time to unwind and enjoy some chit chat with us. We're fans of the Food Network, and we're welcoming to our fabulous Chit Chat Cafe, Down Home with the Neelys. Pat and Gina Neely are with us tonight. We've had a tremendous response, and we thank all of our listeners for sending us your messages. Later at 9:30, we're going to speak with Andrea Ahern. She's representing the Lake Austin Spa Resort, and Tim Sullivan of Timothy J. Candles. Lisa, what a day you've had coming back from Connecticut.
Yep, driving around for work. Well, we're in the car. I drove how many miles today? About 188 miles.
Oh, you're something. And I just had fun chatting with you when you were driving. It was the three of us in the car, everyone. Well, I was on the phone talking to Lisa, and she had her, what is that thing called?
Bluetooth?
You know, that little mile reporter.
The GPS system.
Right. What do you call yours? Do you have a name? Is it a boy or a girl?
We call it Lorraine.
Cause Lorraine!
Because my Lorraine has an English accent, and my thing has an English accent, so we call it
Lorraine. Well, ours does not. Ours we call Tina. However, if she's not being nice and not giving us the directions fast enough or wrong, we call her a name that rhymes with itch. Yeah, because I don't know why. We have an older one, and she gets crazy.
Radio, we can say that word.
I know. She gets crazy because she's older. She's one of the first models, and so she gives us the wrong directions. One time I was driving to Chicago. I don't know what happened. Somebody must have pushed something. It took us clear out of the way. What happened, I think, was somebody pushed a button that said, do not pay any tolls. So we got off the highway, and we're out in the country. It was beautiful, but it was like an hour and a half out of our way.
One time I had to go, well, my son was auditioning for music schools. He was at the Manhattan School of Music.
Right.
And it's in the Bronx, it's in Harlem. So right near there. So I had the GPS one, but it kept sending it. It must have had the wrong. I put road instead of street or something. It kept turning me around in circles and circles. And I was cursing and screaming at the stupid machine. Like
I know.
Hear
see,
it's like a nut.
So, yeah. So what I'm asking you is, you call yours Lorraine, but that's all you call her. Even when you get mad, you never call her other names.
Oh, I call horrible names. The Neelys are on the line, so I'm not going to say. I'd be too embarrassed what I say.
Oh my gosh! So that trip to Chicago, my daughter and I, we were just laughing. We were making faces at her. Who do you think you are telling us all that? It was really funny.
I would scream at it. It's just like, yeah, like it could hear me, but we're going there.
I know. People in other cars are like, who? Boy, she must be talking to the GPS lady.
Yeah, well, anyway.
It's a little too fun.
Yes, but I'm really excited. I'm too excited to concentrate on a topic right now. Can I introduce our first guest?
Love it. I can't wait.
I know. Well, I'm a Food Network junkie. I love the Food Network.
Me too.
Two of my favorite people on the Food Network, because they're so cute. They're the cutest things. I just want to hug them. It's Gene and Pat Neely. They're Food Network celebrities. They operate three family-run barbecue restaurants in Tennessee, with two in Memphis and one in Nashville. And they are the hosts of the Food Network's called Down Home with the Neelys. Welcome, Gene and Pat.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Good evening. We're so glad to be here.
This is really, really an honor and a treat.
Oh, we're super excited. You know, I was just sitting here listening to your GPS stories, and you know, everybody has one. I was recently traveling, I guess about 4 or 5 months ago, and I went on a little golf trip, and I knew where I was going, but I'm like, okay, you got a GPS, you might as well use it. And so lo and behold, my GPS is, I'm just completely off a road. I mean, it's like it's on a desert. It's not showing me anything. It's not talking to me. It's not doing any damn thing. And I'm just like, you know what? No, I'm not going to pay attention to you. I'm just going to keep riding and riding and riding. And finally, when I almost get to my destination, it says, and now you have reached your destination. I said, well, thank you very much.
Oh, don't you love that?
Right.
I know.
So I think everybody
has
a GPS story. Everybody has one. But thank you guys so much for having us.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So how does one get on the Food Network? What did you do? How did you get this gig?
Man, it's just kind of crazy because the Food Network, actually, we were working with Bobby and Jamie Dean. They were doing this show called Road Taste It. And it was a show where you could ship a product. So they would go to various cities and just seek out businesses and do background work. So they contacted us at Neely's at our Memphis store saying that, we know you guys ship your sauce and seasoning. And how she felt about being on the show. And we were like, well, yeah, that's great. Cool. We can get some, you know, advertising, some pub. But what we didn't know was that they were actually talking about our store in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up having to take the trip up to Nashville. It was a 3-hour drive. It wasn't bad. But I was going to go. I had actually planned a trip to Atlanta with my girlfriends, and Pat was going to go. But I was saying to myself, I'm not going to let Pat go by himself. Because, you know, men, they don't want to think about presentation or detail. I said, I don't want people to think we're some kind of country butts on TV from Memphis, Tennessee, or Nashville, and don't have our stuff together. So we got up. We were up there early, like at 5 o'clock. I laid the table down, got everything all pretty. Pat had so much smoke going, I could see them over there looking like, you know, they were talking to the producer, like saying, it's too hot out here. Man, it's too much smoke. I don't know if we can do it. They're whispering. I'm messing with my flowers and I'm listening. You know, us ladies, we can multitask. Listen, chew gum, and pop and do all that and get all the information.
Right.
So they come in and they say, well, you know what? Do you guys mind if we move everything inside? And I said, excuse me? And so I've been out here since 6 o'clock this morning, and you will move everything inside. I said, okay, sure, but they're going to have to help, too. And they looked at me like, are you kidding me? You're asking the talent to help move. And I'm looking at you like they put their pants on just like I do. They can lift up this damn table and bring it on inside. So I think the fact that Pat and, you know, we were just kind of interacting, we didn't really treat them like celebrities. I mean, I hate that word myself. I hate people say, I'm a celebrity. Oh, really? What does that make you? So anyway, we always kind of kept that fun approach. So the producer was standing back watching us the whole time and thinking, wow, they have great chemistry. They're not intimidated. They're having fun. So when they get ready to leave, they asked us, how would you guys feel about, you know, being on the show, either just letting us talk to you? And we were like, yeah, sure, call us. But, you know, you stand to yourself like they're going to call us, right? Don't get your hope up for that.
Mm-hmm.
So lo and behold, a week later, they did call us.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to come down to Memphis, meet with us. They came down, and then they wanted us to come to Savannah and meet Paula Deen because they wanted us to kind of practice being on TV, seeing how the whole thing worked. And, man, I tell you, I was so nervous. I never forget Paula Deen's assistant gave me this. He said, I am so nervous. I'm afraid I'm going to just screw up. Because Pat had been on TV a lot. I was more so kind of behind the scenes. And I never forget the Paula Deen's assistant. I don't know if you remember the story or not. Gave me a drink, but it was like gin and something else, and so it would look like water, and nobody knew that I was drinking like gin, like at 12 o'clock in the day. Honey, I got in front of that camera, and I was cussing. Me and Paula were cussing and talking and talking dirty and telling dirty jokes, and all the time they're saying, just have fun, we're not taping, just have fun, just have fun, just act like you're having girl talk. And then we find out, lo and behold, they were actually taping us. I was so embarrassed. And then they played it back, and they were like, see, you did really good. And I was looking at Pat like, okay, is this what it's going to be like? Like, they're going to be screwing us over like this all the time? So they put all these tapes together. They compiled everything all together, presented it to the Food Network, and the VP of Food Network saw maybe two or three seconds of it and loved it and decided to give us a pilot. A pilot, you get like one show, and then the pilot kicks off, and you get 6 episodes.
But when the show aired, it was like the number one show in their kitchen block ever in their history. So we were just, we could not believe. And then after that, it's from 0 to 80. Just crazy.
Isn't that nice? That's a nice story.
It is. It is. You know, I always tell people, I said, you know, 99% of the people on television, whether it's Food Network, any other network, they seek television. We're that 1% that wasn't looking for television. Television found us. And I think that's the reason why we've been successful, is because we never just jumped over barrels and hoops and said, oh, we're so excited to be on television. We've always taken it as, well, you know, this is a second career. We were restauranters, and we love the restaurant business, and this thing happened. And we're going to take full advantage of it. We're going to do the best we can. But this wasn't something that 10 years ago Gene and I was dreaming about in terms of our career. We always thought that we would be running restaurants for the rest of our years. But I have to correct you on one thing that you said when you introduced us early on about restaurants in Tennessee. We failed to mention that back in July, we partnered and opened up a fabulous Neely's Barbecue Parlor in Upper East Manhattan at 62nd and 1st. And it's just in Manhattan. It's doing extremely well. We're super proud. We're serving a lot of, not only barbecue, but a lot of dishes from, you know, our cookbooks and our shows with the mac and cheese, Gina's collard greens. We got a full bar with all of Gina's signature cocktails. We got black eyed peas. You know, we got cedar plank steak. We got blackened catfish. I mean, the list just goes on and on of fabulous dishes. So, you know, our life has been somewhat on a whirlwind since our show debuted back in 08, but we've been enjoying every minute of it and enjoying the ride, and obviously trying to continue to get better and reach a larger group of our audience.
Now, what's the name of the restaurant in Manhattan? Because Nancy and I are going to go. We're going to be in Manhattan in a few weeks.
It's, you have to go. It's Neely's Barbecue Parlor.
Yeah.
And it's in Upper East Manhattan at the corner of 62nd and 1st.
Oh, you're kind of near. You're not too far from Serendipity, then.
No, I mean, we're really not. And fortunately enough, we have some great partners that...
Hey, this is Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. We're great partners that just, you know, engulf themselves into this whole idea. And they brought great chefs, and it just happened to culminate into a fantastic, successful venture for us.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, tell us, what exactly is, quote, barbecue? Is it anything on the barbecue, or is barbecue a certain, is it like a pulled pork kind of thing, or what is barbecue when you say barbecue?
I once told somebody, I said, barbecue is, you're going to hang up. I'm so sorry, but she's going to hang up. We had someone else click in. Just hang up, Barbara, we'll deal with it. But barbecue is a noun, a verb, and an adjective.
Love it.
So if you ever say that I'm going to a barbecue, my friends and Mary and Jane are barbecuing, I'm going to their house for a barbecue, then it becomes a noun. Then if you say, we are barbecuing ribs, then it's an adjective. Then if you say, I'm going to barbecue today, then it becomes a verb. I mean, it's what it is. And, you know, I tell people, everybody has a definition of barbecue. Is it barbecue sauce? Am I using a gas grill? Am I using a charcoal grill with hickory smoke or apple wood? Whatever it is that you're using, you can create your own definition. And I guess that's the reason why Gene and I have always loved the art of barbecuing, is because it's not just like Italian food or Greek food or Japanese food or Chinese food, where it has a defined definition. Barbecue is such a wide spectrum in terms of what you can do with it, and we absolutely love it.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
One more question I want to ask before Nancy asks you a question. What desserts do you have? That's the important thing, too, you know.
Desserts do you have
at your restaurant?
Oh, man, we have the red velvet cake, which is our number one seller. I mean, when you eat this cake, and I guess because red velvet is such a big cake that's big in the South, it just resonates in New York. And I was talking to our general manager that he said that is one cake we cannot keep in. So I just had the red velvet cake. They also do a brownie that is like a chocolate thunder brownie with the ice cream on it and chocolate, of course, that's on it because you got to have something chocolate. Key lime pie. Let's see what else off the top of my head. Because we're such a cocktail. It's really, we have like 17 cocktails. And so I'm always thinking about cocktails and not the desserts, unfortunately. I try to stick away from the sweets and drink my dessert these days. Let's see what else.
I think we're doing a peach cobbler. You know what's unique about our chefs and our team in New York is that these guys are so great that what they do a lot is they change the menu up, and they change it based on seasons. They change it based on what's going on with us. Case in point, right now, you know, with Valentine's Day coming up, they've taken some of the recipes from our new cookbook that was released in November, the Neely Celebration Cookbook, and they have tried to bring in some of the recipes from the Valentine's chapter and from the beginning of the year chapter dishes and implement them on the recipe, on the menu, and then they'll take some of the other ones off and then they'll bring them back. So we have to kind of call them sometimes and say, okay, guys, what are we featuring for the next couple of weeks? And they'll say, well, we're doing chocolate dipped strawberries that you were serving Gina in chapter 3 of the Neely Celebration Cookbook, or we're doing the sexy pasta with the shrimp.
And I know they've been Love Potion number 9 for Valentine's Day, because that was like one of the really big drinks, the Love Potion number 9, which is and that's like a cocktail. It has like vodka and Cointreau, pomegranate juice in it, lime, and just beautiful red cocktail that looks really, really pretty for Valentine's Day. I know they're doing that. Talk to Chris about that.
Right. So it's ever-changing.
It does look pretty because I made that Love Potion number 9, and it is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Oh.
You know, thank you very much for sending us the Neely Celebration Cookbook. I love it. I love how it's divided into months. I looked at January. I'm looking ahead at February. And I just love it, the roasted tomato and asparagus salad.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh.
We try to offer different variations on different where you're roasting and grilling and just not, you know, everything we gave you an alternative to. And it was also important for Pat and I not to have a traditional celebration cookbook. We want to incorporate new traditions that people could create and start for themselves, like the mini moons and welcome back baby, not just your Easter and Christmas like you would see in more traditional cookbooks. We want it to kind of stand out alone by itself.
Well, I love it, and I love in between. Sometimes you have some fun things coming up, like March Madness. Gina has a ball, and you get to see what Gina writes and Pat. It's really delightful.
We have a fantastic time writing cookbooks because there's two of us, and we always said the Neely Celebration Cookbook was an extension from the first cookbook in that we extended first cookbook Down Home with the Neelys, which we're super proud of. It's a New York Times bestseller. The Neely Celebration was a extension from that book. Book 1 told the story. Book 2 tells you a little bit more about our lifestyles and how we live our lives and how we celebrate. And too often people in our country and in our communities and around the country, they celebrate just the major holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, 4th of July, Memorial Day. You know, it's the major holidays that you get time off or when the banks and businesses are closed. And what we wanted to bring light to is that as a couple and as a family, sometimes you can't wait to those celebrations, and you have to create your own. And over the years, we've always created our own mini celebrations, date night, March Madness, Memphis in May, you know, all of these mini celebrations that help you get through the year because you're celebrating a little bit more often than your normal holidays. And it's worked for us for almost two decades, and we wanted to share it with the world.
Well, it looks delicious, every bit about it. Now, we did have a listener email us. They want to know, in your book, you have char-grilled ribeye with roasted shallot and herb butter.
Yum. Mm-hmm.
Could you describe to our listeners who haven't yet seen your book, what's the best way to do this steak?
As far as for cooking it, or because you can really, because I personally, not Pat, he's a grill man. I'm not going to go outside and get all smoky. I probably would just use a little griddle top on top of the stove. I will season my meat with the salt and pepper, follow all the steps, and then I'll put it on the stove. But Pat, he has to make his barbecue into a big production because that's his sanctuary. I call it his mistress. He's allowed to have that. So I let Pat do that. So
it really is. You know, I have to tell you, you know, this is one dish that really requires Gene and me both, because Gina loves to experiment with herbs and spices, and so she loves to flavor different butters. So she has no problem taking a butter and adding different herbs and softening her butter, and then she's in the kitchen, and after she spices and seasons her butter, she rolls it into a log, and she refrigerates it so that it becomes firm. In the meantime, I'm taking salt and pepper, and I'm out of my grill. I may have, you know, the grill going, or you take, like, this past weekend, it was Super Bowl Sunday. I decided I got what I like to call a wild hair growing up the back of my neck, and I decided to fire up my charcoal grill. Well, when I do that, I fire up the charcoal grill. I get a little wood going, and I take my steak. And I love ribeye because of the marbleization and the fat content that will run throughout the steak. And season it, throw it on the grill. It's so quick, 3 to 4 minutes per side. Flip it over, bring it off. You always want to tent your steak in aluminum foil and let it rest so that the juices can redistribute. And then say, okay, mama, bring me some toppings. And Gina will go to the fridge, she'll grab the butter, she'll slice it, put a few slices right across the top, let it melt, and you've got a great flavored herb butter steak that, I mean, your children or anybody would just mouth would water, stomach would crave, and palate would be satisfied.
Well, it looks delicious. We have also had some people ask about some other cocktails. And I emailed them, and I want you to explain it, please. Oh, it's called the Shot of Love.
Oh, the chocolate one.
Yes. Sounds delicious. I love the names, the Shot of Love.
Well, and you know what else? And the other good thing that I really loved about it, because I was starting to think of a way that we could do cocktails and serve them in a different way. And I thought it would be cute just to serve a shot of love in a shot glass, because no one would expect that, to have it served in a shot glass. And I'm trying to remember, because as you know, we're working on some other recipes and my mind is all bad. I'm looking through my little book here, my little chocolate shot of love.
It's on page 123.
I'm there. Yes, the shot of love. And this cocktail, you wanted, like, just kind of basically, you know, it puts you in the mind of almost like a, just a chocolate, like, mousse is what it's very similar to. When you put everything together, it kind of takes on that kind of texture. Because the sugar and everything and the egg mixture is warm, but then all of that will dissolve, and you add in the heavy cream. And then you just pour it into 2 ounces of shot glasses. And sometimes you can use, like, I have, like, little shot glasses with GMP on them. So if we're entertaining, I'll put them down in there, put a little cream on top, and chop the shavings. And we call that just a shot of love. And take a little spoon and stick it in the side. And you lay it on a tray. And, like, if you're going to have it at the end of a party, you can just lay it out where everybody can kind of come by and just get their shot. of love. And that's just kind of a way of saying, thank you for spending your time with us, and that's our shout of love to you. And that's the little thing that we always like to do at the end of our parties. But it's really easy to do because once you put everything together, you can just chill the mood for at least 2 hours. You can prepare it. Because whenever you're entertaining, I always try to tell people it's all about preparation, preparation, preparation. Because people don't want you cooking and doing things while you're having the party. They want you to be entertaining and celebrating
Absolutely.
With them. So this is a great, great cocktail to have for an event like that because you can prepare it 2 hours earlier before your guests get there and then just pull it right out and it's all, maybe just put the whipped cream on top, a few little shavings of chocolate with the back of a grater, and it's pretty and it's good to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, mama. I have to tell y'all, Gina is a cocktail queen. And some of the dishes that she creates and the cocktail that she creates is the reason why I've been so blessed to sleep beside her every night. She doesn't play around, y'all. I mean, if she can
I hate when you say that because people see me in the liquor store, they always go, I'm going to buy this infused. Like, what do you think I should do with it? I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't just have recipes rolling off the top of my head. Because most of us, I just play with things, too.
But you do, baby. You're so great, and I'm so common. You know, you give me a shot of bourbon and a lemon and some ice, and I'm done. But Gina has created so many great cocktails that when we throw parties and we throw events throughout the year, she traditionally will go through her recipe list and create, depending on the type of an event, a cocktail that would be the signature drink for that event. And it always works out great. And then, you know, her dishes and her good savory dishes that she's created that's been passed down from generation to generation that she serves and she's added her remix to it has made her a fabulous cook. And I have to tell you, with Valentine's Day coming up, I got a beautiful woman that can cook delicious meals and make great cocktails and is still is as beautiful as the first day I met her. I mean, I'm in hog heaven.
Yeah.
Y'all know what hog heaven means? I mean, hog heaven is a whole nother heaven. That's not your regular heaven. I mean, that's
How long have you been married?
16
we've been years. 16 years, but we've known each other for 30.
Do you have any children?
Yes.
We've got two girls.
Spencer and Shelby. Yeah.
Now, was your family in the restaurant business, or like how did you get started? Like, what made you? And did you go to culinary school, or what?
Nope.
You know,
I learned out of grandma's kitchen for me. But
Pat, Jane and I spent a lot of time in New York. We spent a lot of time with other Food Network talent, whether it's, you know, Bobby Flay or Emerald or Rachel or, you know, Tyler Florence or Mario Bentley. So many people, and we always seem like outcasts because we're rubbing shoulders and cooking dishes with these guys, and most of them went to culinary school. And we always say, well, what school did you go to? I said, Mama Daisy. I said, Grandmama Rain. Or Gina say, you know, Mama Callie. They said, well, we never heard of that school. I said, well, it was in a little small house in the middle of Memphis, and she had one stove, but she had a mixer, and she had a cutting board. But I was the only student at the time, so I got, you know, one-on-one, you know, training. And so they always laugh, but I always say that we got some of the best training ever because, you know, we learned a lot of our trades and our knowledge and our passion about cooking from the old-fashioned way, being right there in the kitchen with our grandparents and our parents who really, really made a big deal about preparing a meal as opposed to being in a culinary school where there was a classroom of, you know, 150 or 200, and this instructor dressed in his whites and the knives, and we're going to chop this way, and we're going to do it this way. And I don't know which one is better than the other. All I know is that I consider Gene and I to be just as astute and good cooks as anybody else that's out there right now.
It's authentic. It's you cook with love. It's just from, you know, your kitchen, and that's what's so charming about it, you know, and it's real home cooking.
It really is.
You know, and there's something really nice about that.
And it makes it more relatable, and it's not intimidating. It makes the average person think, I can do that too. You know what I mean? It doesn't come off as like this big, big production. You more so feel like, hey, I can do that too, and that's what we want people to feel. Kitchen, you know, cooking, having a cooking show or making a lavish dish is not all that's correct. Just get in there, try it. You can do it too.
Yeah, and I think that more so we've really been solidified by the success of Neely's Barbecue Parlor that opened in New York back in the summer, because of, you know, it's reservations only. You know, people are just lined up outside the door to get in there to get great macaroni and cheese, and you know, the great collard greens or the great fried chicken are some of the dishes that we're known for in the South. So, you know, I learned one thing about opening up in New York is that food is regional, but if it's delicious and it's really good, I don't care where it came from and where you serve it, people will line up outside the door to get a taste of it and to cook it.
Oh, yeah. In New York, it's like a melting pot there. Everything. Nancy and I are definitely going to visit, and we'll bring Betty in with us too, our correspondent. Come and visit your restaurant in Manhattan for sure. I can't wait. I'm dying. I feel like ribs now. We're talking about it.
Oh, we'd love. You're going to eat like a pig, believe me.
Yeah, we'd love to meet you there, perhaps, if you're there, or sometimes are you there?
Yes.
We are. We were actually there a couple of weeks ago as often as we are in New York, which is, you know, quite a bit. And we never miss a moment to go in there and eat. And sometimes it's unannounced. They're not expecting us. But we'll go in and we'll get a plate of ribs, or we'll get some collard greens or black peas or mac and cheese. Gene and I are always in there eating. We never have to worry about it. After 5 years of being on the network now, we finally never have to worry about when we get to New York, what are we going to eat tonight? You know, that's one of the great things about it. We know we're going to our place. We know what we can get there. We know it's going to be good. We know we're going to have a good time. We're going to enjoy the food. So,
you know what I always wanted to ask a restaurant person this. How do you know how much food to order? Like, how do you know, like, that you're going to have enough or you're going to have too much? Like, how do you know exactly what to order? Like, when you're ordering your food from your vendors or your distributors?
Oh, you mean as a whole?
Yeah.
I know, the spreads sort of always handled that, but it was always like, you know, if it's going to be Super Bowl weekend, so you know everybody's going to want wings, so you kind of over-order on your wings. It's really kind of based on what's going on, how a product is moving, you know, how it's selling, and if it's something they can carry over or something like that, you don't prepare it all. You may do a portion of it and then have that ready to go and prep it, so that way if you need it, it's there and ready to go. Because it's so hard to determine each night who's going to eat what, because we have so many things on the menu.
You need more ribs one night or something else, or, you know.
You got to have everything going.
Jane is absolutely right, but I think the first year in business is always the roughest, because you really don't know. But I think thereafter, you have something that you can go back and you can look at. And it's a rhythm. I mean, so much of it is we take call-in orders, you know, a week or 2 weeks before the Super Bowl or before a big event in terms of, well, I want X amount of slabs of ribs, X amount of this or that. So you already know you got those, and then you got to prepare for the last-minute people. And the restaurant business is a rhythm. I mean, you get into a rhythm, you get into a groove, you understand your trends. And, you know, when Gene and I were in there every day, which is some, unfortunately, we don't get a chance to do much now, we took a great deal of pride in not being out. I mean, I just did not want to be out of anything. If a person gets in their car and they drive all the way to your establishment to pick up something, and when they get there, you tell them, I'm sorry, we're out of that. I mean, that's a big disappointment. I mean, it's like getting up on a Saturday morning to watch Down Home with the Neelys, and all of a sudden, you know, you got breaking news from some news correspondent. I mean, who wants that? So we do our best. Are we perfect and it never happens? No, but you try to keep it to a minimum, and you look at your trends, and you look at what you did the year before. And typically, you're not going to be too far off from the year before. Now, a lot of it depends on the day of the week. I mean, you know, if you're having the 4th of July on a Sunday, then that makes a difference, because you got to order enough ribs because people start celebrating on a Friday. You got to think about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But if 4th of July is on a Wednesday, then that's a pretty crappy holiday because you're probably only just going to get that one day of celebration. So there are little tricks and trades, as they are in everything else that you do, that you kind of learn and go with, that help you to determine. And you learn a lot when you're in business through trial and error. Are you going to run out? Yeah, but, you know, next year you understand, you know what, I ran out last year. I'm not going to run out this year. I know I ordered X amount, so I'm going to order X amount more this year so that it doesn't happen. So just one of those things.
Well, now that we've talked about all this, I would like to switch channels for a second. We talked about what to order and, of course, deliciously what to eat. But I am so proud of you that in 2010, you joined with Kraft Foods North America to endorse and launch a campaign to help fight hunger in America with the Feeding America's nation's highest relief organization. Tell us about your involvement.
Baby?
Ross, I'm sorry.
I mean, I was waiting on you.
I
mean,
I like that, baby.
Did I lose her?
Gina, you still there? She'll call back. You tell us. She'll call back.
I have to tell you, you know, the Kraft Foods was one of our premier sponsors that we were super proud of to partner up with them. And they, for the last 2 years, have had this campaign, The Huddle to Fight Hunger. And it has been a phenomenal success. The first year, we provided over 20 million meals. This past year, we provided over 25 million meals. And we did not ask anybody participating to donate one dime. It was either text a number or like us on Facebook. And every time you liked us, there was a meal that was donated to your local food bank through Feeding America. So this past year, for instance, if you liked us, they would ask, well, what is your zip code? You put that in, and every time you liked us or you played the 10-minute drill game, which they had online, a meal would be donated to your zip code, which in turn would go to your local food bank. And, you know, everything that we do, whether we're writing cookbooks, doing live shows, filming Down Home with the Neelys, all of that is fantastic. But, you know, we were able to partner up with people like Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott and some of the fantastic NFL people. And Kraft also sponsored the Big Bowl game in San Francisco. And it was just an incredible opportunity to be able to give back and during the holiday season know that your efforts were going to provide a meal on a table for an individual. And also there were some statistics that were brought to our attention that I wasn't even aware of, which was that one out of four children in America don't know where their next meal is going to come from. So that's, yeah, no, baby, and they wanted me to go on with it. But we were just kind of talking about the Huddle to Fight Hunger, and, you know, I was just explaining to them that I don't think the average person realized that one out of four children, they have no idea where their next meal is going to come from, and how inspired and how great we felt about participating in the program.
That's wonderful.
Yes, it is. We can't
well, we applaud you, and
you.
We're going to. We would like to put a link up along with the other links on our Facebook, on our website, so that people can maybe click and donate. So we'll have to make sure that we get the correct link. Do you have it memorized, or should we just get it from you?
It's huddletofighthunger.com.
Okay.
And then when that website, and then it come on, and you just click the like button.
Okay, good. Well, we'll put that up too, because
we
would like to also participate and help you with this wonderful donation. And thank you so much. Well, Gina and Pat Neely, would you join us again on Chit Chat Cafe Live?
Absolutely.
Anytime. We'd love to. I mean, we're so delighted to take the opportunity to share some of the great things that's going on in our lives. You know, we've been blessed. God has blessed us with a fantastic show with a lot of people that tune in daily and weekly to watch Down Home with the Neelys, and that have purchased our Cookbook 1 and Cookbook 2, the Neely Celebration Cookbook. And we just like to invite people weekly into our homes to the dishes that we cook and the lifestyles that we lead, because we're just as normal as anybody else out there watching our show.
Well, you are delightful. We feel like we know you because you are in our homes, filling it with love. And
Thank you. We look
forward to meeting you in New York City. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Be awesome. Let us know when you guys are there. And if Gene and I are there, we'll come peek in and we'll sit down and we'll buy you a rack of ribs and buy you a Gina's Green Sangria Tomato Cocktail.
Oh, delicious. Well, we have you posted on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. And we're also going to post about the hunger. And we are tweeting with you at Chit Chat Cafe RS. We've been telling all of our listeners we've had a great response, Neely. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
We
appreciate it.
Good night. Well, join us again soon.
Okay.
We look forward to you. You guys have a good evening.
So sweet. You're adorable, both of you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, they are delightful. We're thanking our sponsors tonight, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. We would like to let everyone know that we're going to have Adrian Ahern join us again another evening. And please stay tuned for Timothy Sullivan of Timothy J. Candles.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone. We are just thrilled to introduce Tim Sullivan. He's a former New York ad executive and now a master candle maker in Hollywood. Welcome, Tim Sullivan, representing Timothy J. Candles.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Our pleasure.
Well, our homes smell exquisitely divine tonight. I am burning paisley right now.
Yes.
And I can just smell the orange grove and the tuberose.
Well, thank you.
It's just fragrant. I'm just loving it. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. We have 27 different fragrances, actually, that I've developed over the 15 years. And they run the gamut from perfect gardenia, and I call it perfect because it took so long to get this fragrance right that when we got it, it was perfect. And we even have tea fragrances, we have spices, we have greens, we have a lot of florals. We had the original first black candle called Black Orchid, which I started 13 years ago now. And that's a combination of orchid with orange blossom. And it's a beautiful, beautiful fragrance, and everybody loves it. They love the black candle as well. So there's a candle to hit everybody's mood.
Well, I can just imagine how beautiful that is, because you shared with us also the red one, the red satin, which you quote as saying a combination of greens and gardenia and vanilla orchid.
That's right. That's we've done that for, we do different candles for different occasions as well. We have a lot of people calling for Valentine's Day, and we did the red satin for Valentine's Day and wrapped it in a total red package with, of course, the red satin ribbon. And it's a perfect gift for Valentine's Day, because I'm not knocking flowers, but they die in a few days, and you've got the candle for a long time.
It's beautiful, and you're right about that beautiful red satin ribbon. Now, how did you ever get interested in making candles?
Well, a friend of mine 15 years ago said he wanted to make candles for Christmas, and I said, well, if we're going to make them, we're going to make them right. I have a background in fragrance for years with Avon and Lancome and different companies of that sort, so that I just didn't want to do a stinky little candle. I wanted to do a candle that's correct and right. And basically, we started out using a French candle as a base, and then we built from there, and we looked into all kind of different waxes, different wicks, and I work with three fragrance companies as well. Oddly enough, you know, people will say, oh, I love this fragrance, and they'll talk about a perfume, and that works well on the skin, but it may not work as well in the atmosphere. So you have to kind of find those kind of fragrances that change the atmosphere ever so slightly. You know it's there, but it's not heavy. It's not hitting you over the head. It's just a perfect complement to the room you're in. And in some cases, people who have a lot of floral prints in their room prefer a floral base candle because it kind of complements the decor. We have a candle called Havana, which is like a paneled room, which is a beautiful fragrance. And it's that feeling of walking into a paneled room and getting that woods kind of fragrance as well. And then there are other different kinds. You know, as I mentioned, the green fragrances. We're so blessed in California. We now have the jasmine and pitsiporum trees starting to bloom. And at night, the air is so beautiful. And back east, when I used to go out in the summers in Southampton, the privet hedge used to bloom the same way. And I had people cut those blossoms and send them to me. And I went to the perfumer and said, do this. And we called it Hedges. And it's a very popular fragrance back east as well. So that's a background of most of the fragrances.
I have to tell you, your packaging is gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
Beautiful. I mean, anybody can buy these candles and give them as a beautiful hostess gift, or, I mean, and you can feel proud. I mean, they look rich, and they're just very elegant and classy. I have to tell our listeners that, because they're just absolutely beautiful, and I mean that.
Well, wonderful. We work off different themes. At over Christmas time, we work with the Tournament of Roses again. And we did the President's Ball for the Tournament of Roses, and we took their theme for next year, and we adapted that to the package as well, with their art directors helping us as well. And every one of the participants at the President's Ball, which last year was a Saturday night, received one of these candles. It was the unveiling of next year's theme. And it was really kind of a neat thing to do. I've worked with people like Miss Diana Ross with her. She sent candles after she received the Kennedy Center Honors Award. And I did a special package for her. I did a special package for the opening of Dreamgirls when the film opened about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now. So I'm used to working with a lot of different personalities and companies in developing their own personal package and fragrance as well.
Tell us about your private label that you sell to Exquisite Shops. Tell us about that.
Well, the private label comes from people contact me, and they do, you know, because there's so many candles out there, and they want their own personal signature candle. And they want their own so that nobody else can go, you can't buy it anywhere else. You have to go to the store to buy it. And it becomes, when the person walks into the store, there's that fragrance in the air as well. So they will write me and say, or email me and just say, we're very interested in a private label. What I do is send out to them what I would consider a good idea of what kind of fragrance they're looking for after an interview with them. And then they send to me their logos and any kind of artwork they were thinking of using. And our team here adapts a package to that. And the beauty of it is these companies don't have to buy 1,000 candles. They can buy like 12 dozen candles. They don't have to have this huge stock in the back of boxes and candles, which normally most companies do. That's because everything we do at Timothy J is done by hand. And we individually wrap the packages as well, so that when they get them, they look perfect off the line kind of boxes and everything, but they've all been done by hand, which enables them to have their own private label without having thousands of candles as an upfront purchase or even for storage.
Well, our listeners have just been responding to us like crazy, loving the fact that they can shop online. We have you listed on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website, and we're just so thrilled to promote you and your candles.
Well, thank you. I love talking to you, and you know, it's quite an honor for me to be able to do this as well. I love to talk to people. Sometimes I have a bunch of school kids who will come in with a teacher, and we'll teach them how to make candles, and it's so much fun to be able to talk to people about the art of candle making. Not only that, but we're very, very proud of what we do here. It's all American-made. Even our boxes are made in this country. We will not go to China on anything, and that's not knocking it. I just believe that we should develop our own things here. And it's all homegrown.
It's beautiful. And sometime, Tim, we hope to come to Timothy J. Candles. You're located 1107 North Harper Avenue, West Hollywood, California. And it's the way that you describe it on your website, it just sounds beautiful.
Well, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you come in if you have time. Let you sit and make up a batch of your own candles from the different...
Oh, cool.
We have hundreds of fragrances here, so you can make your own as well.
Oh, that sounds fun. Tim, would you join us again sometime on Chit Chat Cafe Live to talk more about your candles?
I would love to. I would love to do it anytime you'd like.
And thank you very much for joining us tonight, and we're sending all of our listeners your way.
Well, thank you so much, and have a pleasant evening, and hello to all your listeners as well.
And thank you, Tim.
Okay, bye. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, my home smells beautiful with his paisley candle.
Gorgeous.
I love it.
Very rich and elegant and... It's a great hostess gift, I think. Beautiful.
It's beautiful. Well, Lisa, quite a show tonight. It was so much fun. So we're very proud and honored to thank our sponsors, Intimacy Bras, St. Croix Orthopedics, and Laura Geller Makeup. We're very proud of Corey King, our producer, and thank him so much for helping us not only produce our show, but with our wonderful website where everyone can find more information about it. Now remember to tune in every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to hear the Corey King Show on Artists First. And don't forget to come back and listen to us every Thursday night.
We'd like to thank our guests Gina and Pat Neely and Tim Sullivan from Timothy J. Candles. And I'm inviting you to listen to our archives, perhaps listening to Dr. Jennifer Berman or Melania Trump or Jeff Ashton from the Casey Anthony trial. You just go to our website, scroll down, and pick the date you want to listen, click, and you can listen away while you're playing on Facebook or doing work, and just enjoy our past shows.
I'm leaving you with a fun quote. One day, you'll be just a memory for some people. Do your best to be a good one. Good night, everyone.
Good night.